Now, Northern Ireland is facing another welfare reform crisis. That's the warning MPs were given earlier this week. Two Westminster committees heard there would be dire consequences if mitigation payments come to an end while Stormont is in limbo. I'm just reading an article here in the Irish News. It's written by David Young. And he is explaining that a £500 million package of mitigations designed to absorb some of the impact of UK-wide changes to the benefit system is due to expire in March next year. Now, these support payments were introduced as part of the 2015 Stormont House Agreement. It ended months of political deadlock over the introduction of welfare reforms in Northern Ireland. And if I read his article, it's basically explaining that people like Professor Eileen Evison, who chaired a working group that designed the original package, she's warning of a toxic combination looming, with the mitigation payments ending at the same time as a wider rollout of this contentious universal credit benefit. Kevin Higgins from Advice NI is with us. Morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And you're warning about this problem. You're saying it could be bigger than what happened in 2015.
Yes, Stephen. In many ways, if you go back to 2015 and you look at the circumstances there, those same circumstances exist now. And in fact, in many ways, you could say that they're even harsher for those people in work and out of work and low incomes. I think it is worth, and you did make the point there, that these issues, these problems, welfare reform stems from Westminster. And actually, our politicians did very well in 2015 to agree to the mitigations working group and the recommendations that Professor Evison brought in. So, for example, in relation to the bedroom tax benefit cap, protection for sick and disabled people that had their DLA reassessed for PIP, and you know very well the issues that are around all of that, additional advice services, a whole range of measures were put in place, but unfortunately those measures face a cliff edge in March 2020.
And so what will happen?
Well, I mean, if we take the top headline figure, again, bedroom tax flows from Westminster, but in terms of impact, it is here in Northern Ireland, but people are protected because of the supplementary payments. So we've got 34,000 households that are protected to the tune of about £22 million per year. That's about £12.50 a week or about £50 a month. Perhaps even more harsh is the benefit cap, which looks at primarily impacts on households with children. All households that are capped have children, and in fact 85% are lone parent households. Some of those households are capped by over £100 per week. So if they lose their protection, if they lose their mitigation payments, where are they going to find £100 per week? There's no way that they can, and that takes you into the territory of going into rent arrears, repossessions, homelessness, and the stark reality of all of that is a crisis. So that's why we're highlighting these issues today and to the Joint Committee earlier this week.
Well, Alex Maskey, the Sinn Féin MLA, is with us today as well. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Steve.
Of course, people in England don't have this mitigation, do they? So why should we be a special case here?
Well, everybody knows here that the society here, we suffer from a higher number of people unemployed. We suffer from a greater degree of ill health, including mental health illness problems, and that's in part at least due to the conflict that we've had for a long, long time. And also we have a society here, our economy here is quite considerably based on low income. So we have a perfect storm here in terms of our history, in terms of health, in terms of the low-paid economy. So that's why there's a greater need here, of course.
And is the mitigation package £500 million? Is that what it is? Is that what's ending next March?
It is actually, and I think Kevin has already alluded to a couple of the key components of that, certainly the ones that grab the headlines, the bedroom tax and so on. Some of the mitigations that we had agreed have not yet been implemented because, quite simply, the British Treasury has refused to accept these payments as anything other than taxable. So there's been difficulties with it, but at the end of the day, all of the evidence that we have is that the mitigation package that was secured back then has been absolutely essential and at least taken the blunt edge for many people of our community against these cuts. And you say this is these policies come from Westminster, is what you call the UK way, which regrettably for me, unfortunately, covers here in the north. But leaving that argument to one side, we fought very hard. Remember, we blocked the welfare reform bill in 2012 right through to 15. So there was no money taken off anybody for that period of 3 years. We did our best to hold out, but at the end of the day, as you know yourself, Stephen, you've had many discussions about that. The Assembly itself was on the point of collapse. That his government were threatening to impose food welfare cuts programme, and that would have meant, if that had happened, then we would have had the welfare changes, the cuts brought in with no protection for anybody. Other than that, we got then the £500 million, and parties, DUP ourselves and the Lions Party agreed with that.
See.
At the end of the day, it was certainly not the best, but it was the best that we could get at the time. And I noticed Scotland, for example, and I've been to Edinburgh, I spoke to government ministers even recently again, where they've been doing their best. So what I think is essential that all of the parties do come together, and there has been some meetings, and I do believe that it's up to the parties now to try to do our level best to offset as far as we can the Tory cuts coming from Westminster, and there doesn't seem to be any let-up in Westminster's determination to continue with their austerity and welfare cuts programme, Stephen. So I'm hopeful that the parties will agree. I mean, I do believe there is a clear understanding now amongst the parties that we need to do something beyond next March.
Yeah. I get a sense that this is going to be one of the biggest stories of the year. I really do, because if you look at what happened with welfare reform the last time, if you look at the potential impact that this can have, and this is what you're saying, Alex, too, the potential impact that this can have on good, decent, but vulnerable people who, for whatever reason, need benefits. Like, this is going to be one of the biggest impacts for a long, long time on real lives. Now, Nicola Mallon, you're joining us too.
Well, if I just finish there, Stephen, to make the point, I mean, you're absolutely right. It will have very serious consequences for a lot of people in our communities, which is why I believe it is absolutely essential that the parties work together to do their best to make sure that we can get as much support as we can do for those who we deserve.
Part of working together, of course, is having the... the ability to affect change, have the ability to make decisions and have government.
Well,
or you're going to have to rely on Karen Bradley.
Well, you're right.
And where will that get you?
Well, you are right, because that was one of the arguments that we had back in 2015 when we had the Fresh Start and the Stormy House Agreements coming together. That our argument was we would rather try and be in there to make the difference where we could do. And that was even within the limitations. Because remember, welfare policies are devolved here from Westminster, but only on the basis that you do what Westminster passes as policy, and any change from that, you have to get their agreement, and then you have to pay for the cost.
Okay,
you have to take the money out of the grant.
Nicola Mallon, what impact is this going to have if this? So this mitigation, in other words, these payments that people are currently getting in Northern Ireland, they're going to stop. They're scheduled to stop in March of next year. What impact is that going to have on the ground?
Stephen, it's not that it's going to be the biggest story this year. It actually is the biggest story now, but with Brexit and everything else, it's not getting the proper focus that it should. Currently, over 300 households are being hit with the bedroom tax. That's right now. And of those people, the housing executive said that they have seen a fourfold increase in their rent arrears. So that's for 300 who are currently paying the bedroom tax. Come March next year, if we don't have protections in place, that escalates to over 34,000 households. We know, because we can see across the water in England, and we know because we see it in our constituency office, that what it does is it pushes people to rely even more on food banks. It pushes them into poverty and despair. It makes it very difficult for them to get credit. So I'm aware of cases where people, mothers, are feeling that they have to go to loan sharks and take out payday loans. So I don't think we can overstate the importance of this enough. And I think all parties should recognise the importance of this, and it should be a political priority for all parties in these talks process and also in the formation of an executive and an assembly so that we can put protections in place. Because it is about protecting our vulnerable through...
Where are we going to get half a billion pound from?
Well, we were able to look. The previous executive was looking at cutting corporation tax.
That's not going to happen before March next year. It's just not going to happen.
Well, if we formed an executive, if we were able to find an agreement and an executive and assembly was back up and running next week or the week after, and all parties were genuine and saying that this is a political priority, then we could come around and the money absolutely be fine. Because, Stephen, the cost of not doing this is much more to the public purse and is much more in terms of its detrimental impact to human beings, to families and to children in particular.
Well, Jim Wells from the DUP, the reality is, look at the state of the health service, look at the state of education funding in Northern Ireland. Where are we finding £500 million from before March of next year? Where are we finding the compromise between Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill for local politicians to even have any type of clout over this issue in Northern Ireland? And people are on the verge here of finding a very, very difficult time ahead of them. And they're looking to you lot to help them.
Stephen, I think I agree with most of what's been said already. I appreciate Kevin's comments that the Assembly, on a cross-community basis, worked hard to get the first mitigating package resolved. And it depends, of course, whether the money is coming out of what's known as the block grant or coming direct from Westminster. Had the Assembly still been up and running, I'm sure that negotiations with the Treasury would have resulted in a second mitigation package being announced. I would agree with Nicola. I'm about 90% of my casework at the moment is welfare. It's universal credit and it's personal independence payments. And the mitigation payments have been extremely useful, particularly to the working poor. I think people have got a false impression that most of benefit recipients in Northern Ireland are actually unemployed. They're not. There are people in low-paid employment, or they're pensioners, or they're people that are finding it very difficult to get along. Unemployment has dropped enormously, but we still have many people who are not even on what's called the minimum wage or the basic living wage. So therefore, the Secretary of State has the power to step in here and announce a second mitigation package. And I would suggest that if all the parties signed a joint letter saying we need to continue this very successful scheme, I think that would give her the kudos at Westminster to go back and say, look, we need to get this running again.
You reckon?
Yes, but she has the power.
She has the power. You don't think she might say back, sorry, that's a matter for the Assembly?
Well, yes. Well, first of all, Stephen, I think Karen Bradley's days as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland are numbered. I think after the 27th of July, it's highly unlikely she'll still be there. But also, I feel that if there's cross-community consensus, she can't sort of try and hide behind this mantra of, oh, it's something that has to be done should the Assembly return. She's using that, obviously, to put pressure on the political parties.
Jim, there was cross-community consensus over the abuse society, survivors' compensation. And look where that got them. They were delayed and delayed and delayed.
But I think, again, as a result of a letter signed by the five political leaders, in fact, the six political leaders, I think that roadblock has been removed. This is an even bigger issue. I mean, because remember, Stephen, this £500 million will circulate around the economy immediately. This money isn't going down a dark hole. It'll be used to buy food, electricity, clothing, etc. That's good for the economy.
Where's it coming from, Jim?
Well, it was, before the fall of the Assembly, it was agreed it was going to happen. So the money had been found. The difficulty is, of course, there isn't a mechanism at the moment to trigger its release.
But you have to take it from somewhere else, don't you?
Well, there was a package agreed with Westminster the last time, and the impact on the Northern Ireland budget wasn't that dramatic. And it also has to be remembered, Stephen, that unemployment has continued to fall throughout this period, so we may not need all of the £500 million, but it would be good to have it there to meet, for instance, the introduction of universal credit has caused enormous problems, particularly those who were forced to move from income support.
This is your Tory partners introduced that.
Stephen, would you mind if I actually come in every second, because I think there are a number of anomalies already creeping into the programme. First of all, whenever the mitigation package were secured here in the North, we didn't agree anything with the British government in terms of the package because the money came out of a block grant, and that's because parties like ourselves and others who support the mitigation programme felt that, we do have to support the most vulnerable. We have to maximise that support as best we can do for all the reasons outlined earlier on about people on low wages and people who are sick and so on and so forth. So we took that money in a block grant, and we had a lot of criticism from people who were saying, you're taking that money from health and education and so on. Political priorities have to be agreed. As Nicola said earlier on, we have to make political priorities. Mitigation would be one of them. And certainly I make a commitment on behalf of Sinn Féin. If we can get an agreement here then and an executive is formed, we'll be in that executive and we will continue to push for mitigation. But I would say this to the credit of the party so far. The party did commit before Christmas at Kevin Higgins at HNI AGM that we would come together. We could see if we could seek a consensus around support for mitigation round two. And on the basis that that commitment was given, parties have met on a number of occasions, and I believe, and I can't betray any confidences on that, of course, because it's not for me to say that, but I believe, and I'm optimistic, that parties have some agreement around benefits. For example, I would be fairly confident that you would get agreement that people would pay, would support payments of the bedroom tax, for example. And let's not forget that there are 35,000 plus people today benefiting from the support for their bedroom tax who don't pay it. And that, I think that's very, very important. That's a massive number of people.
And when you said there, Alex, but
the department, this is crucial, Stephen, if you don't mind, the department has already said in their review of the mitigation programme that they can continue to pay bedroom tax on the benefit cap within the current rules. We know there wasn't an executive form tomorrow, which I hope it can be formed, but even if it's not, it is there in the gift of the department that we can continue mitigating at least those two categories.
When you said there, Alex, that you're confident that the parties have agreed a plan around the bedroom tax, what do you mean?
I believe
what
that
plan?
The parties are sympathetic, and I don't want to highlight it any more than that, but the parties, I'm confident that the parties are, let me say this, much more enthusiastic about supporting the bedroom tax. I think they all understand the need to do that. I believe that they will support it in the morning, formally and officially and so on, but that's my projection on that. But I'm making the point, parties have come together, we've had a number of meetings. It's been tentative, but at the same token, there is an embryonic agreement there that certainly there's a consensus amongst the parties that whatever our views are about all these matters, that we have to support the most vulnerable. And I'm making that commitment. If there's an exact reform tomorrow, our party's in that, and we will continue to fight for the maximum number of mitigations that we can give to provide support to people who are being very, very seriously impacted by the Tory cuts coming from London. And
thank you.
As I said, there's a lot of evidence to tell us that the mitigations have been successful. Use that word in inverted commas, but have helped an awful lot of people here. We've taken the blunt edge off the welfare cuts coming from London, and we need to continue that on. So there are certainly Sinn Féin's intentions that the mitigations come to an end.
Okay, all right.
That's why we built in the year 3 review and so on and so forth, to give us the evidence to tell us whether the money was been identified properly, was it been spent properly.
Okay, Alex, thank you. Kate McCauley is from Housing Rights. Morning to you, Kate.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. What impact is this going to have, Kate? Spell it out to people.
Yeah, it's going to have a huge impact. And in fact, so deep is the concern about the end, not only the end of these mitigations, but also the new challenges that people are facing on the ground, that over 85 organisations from mental health, from housing, from advice, from the trade union sector have come together to deliver a message very loud and clear to our politicians and our government that it's really important that these protections continue and that they're strengthened. I suppose from a housing-specific point of view, I work at a housing advice charity, so we see day and daily the struggles that people already have to be able to afford to keep a roof over their head. And I suppose reflecting back on the inquiry that Kevin and I participated in at the start of the week, I was really moved hearing from George, a man who was also giving evidence, and he was talking about his fears when the protections around the bedroom tax end. And he was saying, you know, I've lived, this isn't just my house, it's my home. I've lived there for a really long time, and I don't know if I could afford to be able to make up that additional amount of money that I'd have to make up, you know, this average of £50 per month if the mitigation protections were to end. And I want to, if I can, just very briefly address this point about how much it would cost to do this, because I think there's a very strong argument here that we can't afford not to do this. So if you look at homelessness, for example, and we know that the end of these mitigations and the impact of universal credit is going to drive more and more people into arrears. It's going to threaten their ability to stay in their home. So we know in Northern Ireland already that the average, a very conservative estimate for how much it would cost for every homeless presentation in Northern Ireland is around £15,500 per person per year. Now, for me, it makes good financial sense to invest the £600 per year that it would cost if you take it, there's an average of £50 per month needed to be spent on the mitigation per person.
Okay.
That's £600 per year compared to £15,500 per year. This is preventative spend.
Okay.
It's and, a good use of money.
And we will be following this story in detail. I think it's going to be huge. Kate, thank you. Morning to you.